Would you stand with me for our call to worship? If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men.
Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man.
For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. To invite you to join me in prayer this morning. Lord Jesus, you have risen. We praise you this morning for conquering death for us. You have not only provided blessing in this life, but have given us the promise of life eternal with you. We celebrate the life that you have given to us. Praise your holy name. Pray to you as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
As it was in the beginning,
may be seated.
Our first reading for today will be from Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." Our second reading will be from the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. Now that the same day two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," he replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women were amazed. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it was just as the woman had said, but they did not see." He said to them, "How foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening." They did almost over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were open and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11, those with them assembled together, and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. And thus ends our reading.
All right. I have the kids down front here. You guys really look good. Hi, James. How you doing? Good? Can I ask you a question? Why are you all dressed up?
Because.
Because why?
Because
it's Easter? Yeah. You got it. That's right. It's Easter, and you guys are all dressed up, and you're here to celebrate that Jesus is risen. All right, I want to read something from Matthew chapter 28, verses 7 and 8. The angel said to the first people who saw that Jesus had been risen, "Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and with great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Do you know, when we know the truth that Jesus rose from the dead, there's something we're supposed to do. And these ladies who came to the tomb, it says they went and told others that Jesus had been risen. Now, do you think that maybe you guys should tell your friends and some people you know and maybe some relatives or neighbors that Jesus is risen? Do you think that'd be a good idea?
Yes.
I would imagine that that was a good answer, by the way. I would imagine that you might be like a little afraid to do that. Do you think that's true? You might be a little afraid to go tell people that. It says they did it with fear and with joy. So you know what? It's even okay to be a little bit afraid to do it, but we can still be happy and tell others that Jesus is risen. So here, you know what I'm going to have you do? We're going to try it out here first. Before you try this at home, let's try it here where it's safe. Okay? All right. I want you guys to get up. I want you to stand right in front of these beautiful flowers. Stand right up here. Face all these nice people. Don't they all look nice out there today? All right. There you go. Stand up there nice. Let everybody see how cool you look. All right. When I count to three, I want you to tell all these fine people that he's risen, okay? So you're going to say he is risen really, really loud. You guys can be loud, right? James, can you be loud? Yes. All right. Okay. Ready? He is risen on three, okay? One, two, three.
He is risen!
All right. And you weren't even afraid when you did that. You might be afraid later, but not here. One more time. Ready?
He is risen!
All right. Let me pray with you guys, and grades 3 and under are dismissed. Grades 4 through 6, you're not having Sunday school today. You're going to stay up here, and it's going to be fun. All right? For those of you visiting for the first time, that's my son. So, you know. Let's pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, we thank you for children, and we thank you for the joy that they bring, and we thank you that you are risen. And we ask that you would help them now and as they grow in life to be careful to tell others that you have risen and to share that joy with everyone that they possibly can. We thank you for the blessing that these children are. We ask that you would be with them as they are dismissed to Sunday school. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys.
Death is now my sting.
dying ones he all doth save. Alleluia. Where thy victory, O grave. Alleluia.
Love's redeeming work is done.
Death in vain forbids him rise. Alleluia. Christ has opened paradise. Alleluia.
So we now where Christ has led.
Skies. Alleluia. You may be seated. This time we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. From Jim Clark, a thank you to all who have offered prayers and expressions of support. The surgery went well, and Jim is home recovering. And you may want to just give him a call and let him know you care about him and he's doing well. Yep. Linus, prayers for his stepfather, who starts treatment for cancer on Monday. We need to remember our troops. Gwen, prayers for son's friend in Philadelphia, whose wife just left him. And continued prayers for Frank. And during the time of silent prayer, I encourage you to lift up any needs that are on your heart that were not mentioned out loud. I know it's kind of intimidating maybe even to mention the deepest hurts that are on your heart when you walk into a congregation like this, but I'm glad that God knows your heart. He knows those needs, and so during that time of silence, offer those prayer concerns to him, and the Lord will certainly hear us this morning. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful this morning that we can pray to you. That grave could not hold you, and we serve a risen Savior, one who is Almighty God, who is able to hear our needs and our concerns, and your word instructs us to cast our cares upon you because you care for us. And we thank you for that compassion that led you to the cross, that compassion that compelled you to lay your life down only to take it back up again so that you could purchase our redemption, our forgiveness, and our eternal life. We are forever grateful to you for your sacrifice for us. Lord, we bring these needs and requests to you. We thank you, Lord, for successful surgery for Jim. We just ask that you would continue to strengthen him and encourage him, that his recovery would be quick. Lord, we ask for Linus's stepdad, that you would just be with him, that you would be a comfort, an encouragement, a strength to him. Lord, I think of someone from my wife's family's church, Ben Klein, who just found out he has cancer. Lord, we ask for healing in his body as well. Lord, for our troops around this world, that you would remind them this very special day, wherever they may be, that they can have hope and life even in the midst of battle, because you have risen. Lord, we think of this one whose wife left him. Lord, we ask that you would bring encouragement and hope, and that you would just be so tangibly present in his life. Lord, for the needs and requests that are represented in this body that were not mentioned out loud, Lord, we ask that you would meet the needs of your people. You know our hearts. You know our needs better than even we do. So we ask that you would meet the needs of your people. We thank you for the privilege we have to come into your presence. And all of this we ask in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Dr. George Sweeting tells of an incident in the early 1920s when communist leader Nikolai Bukharin was sent from Moscow to Kiev to address an anti-God rally. For an hour, he abused and ridiculed the Christian faith until it seemed as if the whole structure of belief was in ruins. Then questions were invited. An Orthodox Church priest rose and asked to speak. He turned, faced the people, and gave the Easter greeting. He is risen. Instantly, the assembly rose to its feet, and the reply came back loud and clear. He is risen indeed. I think we probably ought to try it this morning ourselves. What do you think? He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. This morning, I'm going to conclude a sermon series that we've been going through in the Gospel of Luke, taking a look at the life of Jesus from that gospel. Luke 24, we get another glimpse of Jesus, and I have to tell you, this is, quite frankly, one of my absolute favorite pictures of Jesus. Some of you are aware of the fact that I occasionally like to laugh, like humor. My humor may not always be the best, but I enjoy it. I like to be laughed with, laughed at, just laughter is good. And Jesus had a sense of humor. How many of you are happy this morning that God has a sense of humor? I look in the mirror and I know that God has a sense of humor. I don't know how you interpreted that. What I meant was, God created my face with the muscles and the ability to smile. And he gave me the intellect, well, some, to experience joy and to understand jokes. Now, due to that doctrinal truth this morning, I would appreciate a little more laughter when I tell jokes. But in Luke 24, we find Jesus approaching two disciples who are walking to a village called Emmaus. We don't know who these disciples are, except that one of them is named Cleopas. We don't know who the other disciple was, but the setting is resurrection morning. Jesus has risen from the dead, and he decides to eavesdrop on a conversation that, surprise, surprise, is all about him. I just stop for a moment there. This is what a picture that we have in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus is kind of a covert spy sneaking in and listening to what people are saying about him. Have you ever walked into a room and all of a sudden it gets quiet? That's a good way to know somebody's talking about you. You were apparently the topic of discussion, but people didn't realize you were there. Well, let's take a look again at these two sad disciples in Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. And he asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed, before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." And as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and began to give it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem, and there they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. What an incredible picture. Jesus kind of plays dumb with these two guys and says, "Hey, what's up? What are you talking about?" You know, you have to picture this because he's really playing it up. You think Jesus doesn't know what they're talking? Of course he knows what they're talking about. And they look at him as if to say, "Where have you been living, under a rock?" To which he could have said, "For about 3 days," but... See, you guys caught on. When I talked about how God created us with the ability to laugh, that was good. Thank you. You see, it's all about being transformed by the risen Christ. And these disciples walking along the road, they hadn't yet been transformed by that reality. So the question becomes, is it enough to just observe Jesus? Because many of us have observed Jesus. We've heard the stories, we've seen movies about him and seen plays. We know the history, but is that really enough? Obviously, these men walking along, they knew the history of Jesus' ministry. They're telling Jesus all about his ministry. So they know about Jesus. They know the history. And if you think about it, our Western culture has been influenced greatly by the story of Jesus. Our calendar reflects his influence. We can tell the story again and again. The average person on the street can most likely tell you who Jesus is with... Even if it's a very simple understanding, they will tell you he lived in Palestine or lived about 2,000 years ago. He died on a cross. They know kind of who he is. They've observed him. But is that the same as being transformed by resurrection reality? The other night we watched The Passion of the Christ, and that's a movie that, you know, if we ask for a show of hands, how many people have seen The Passion of the Christ? Most people in this room have probably seen it. Certainly not all, and probably not little ones, but millions of people went to see that movie in the theaters. But you know, the many people that I sat with in the movie theater, I don't know that all of them had been transformed by the reality of the resurrection of Christ. It's one thing to kind of stand outside and observe him, observe his history, but that's not quite the same as being transformed by the reality of the resurrection. Sometimes we're good at observing data, but that's not the same as being transformed. The disciples are talking about Jesus in the past tense. We had hoped he would redeem us, but he's gone. They're talking about him as a historical figure, not as a risen reality. Dr. Siemens tells of a Muslim who became a Christian in Africa. And some of his friends asked him, "Why have you become a Christian?" He answered, "Well, it's like this. Suppose you're going down the road and suddenly the road forked in two directions and you don't know which way to go. And there at the fork on the road were two men, one dead and one alive. Which one would you ask which way to go?" He's risen. Peter Kreeft and Ron Tosselli wrote the following. They say, "The greatest importance of the resurrection is not in the past, Christ rose, but in the present, Christ is risen. The angel at the tomb asked the women, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead?' The same question could be asked today to mere historians and scholars. If only we did not keep Christ mummified in a casket labeled history or apologetics, he would set our lives in a world of fire as powerfully as he did 2 millennia ago, and our new pagan empire would sit up, take notice, rub its eyes, wonder, and convert a second time." You see, we can talk all about the history of Jesus, and it's all here. But I am glad this morning that his resurrection impacts my life today. Didn't just impact the disciples back then. It transforms my life now and forever. It's interesting. The disciples were discussing all kinds of things about Jesus, but missed the very words that he said. Luke 18 says that Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, "We're going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again." Isn't it fascinating? They watched all those other things happen and are baffled by the fact that the tomb's empty. He said, "I'm going to be handed over to the Gentiles. I'll be mocked, insulted, spit on, flogged, and killed." They saw all that happen. We have an empty tomb, no body. A little deductive reasoning here. Just maybe what he said came to pass. Observing the data wasn't enough for them. How about hearing his very words? Is that enough? Because the disciples move from talking to listening. And the scene changes as they were dominating the conversation, talking about Jesus. Jesus then begins to talk about himself. And he talks about Scripture. And he goes from Moses, it says, all the way from Moses to the prophets. Now, when we say Moses, what do you think he was talking about? I had Thayer read Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. So what in the world would you read that for on Easter? That was probably one of the first places Jesus went in describing himself and the role he played. Verse 14 and 15, Genesis chapter 3, written, by the way, by Moses. "So the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel.'" He will crush your head. That happened at the cross. Jesus, I apologize, crushed Satan's head and defeated death. He struck Jesus' heel, but that was all he could do. Death could not hold him. And so Jesus crushes the head of the serpent. That is a prophetic picture, looking forward all the way in the Garden of Eden at Christ, who is to come and be the Redeemer. That's probably one of the places that Jesus pointed out to them. Perhaps when he moved on to the prophets, he quoted Isaiah chapter 53. "Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living for the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Do you know that to this very day there are many synagogues that will refuse to allow that passage to be read? You know why? Could it spell it out any more clearly who it's talking about? Jesus fulfills that prophecy to the letter. I imagine that might have been one of the spots that Jesus says, "Do you remember Isaiah? Do you remember what he said? Do you know what he was talking about?" But you know what's fascinating? They're still clueless. Here, the author of life, the one who laid his life down for them, describes it all to them, and they still don't get it. How sad that so often people hear the truth, and they watch television, and they hear a message, and the gospel is presented. Oh, yeah, I heard that. And they go to church, and they hear another message about the gospel. Yeah, I heard that too. But their lives are not transformed. You know why? Because it's not just hearing that transforms us. What have we done with the message we've heard? It's interesting, the story of Lazarus and the rich man, Luke chapter 16, verse 31. And that rich man who finds himself in the flames of punishment, and he says, "Please send someone to tell my brothers so they don't come here." And he's told, "Even if someone rises from the dead, they will not listen." Boy, that's sobering words. There are some who will hear the message, and all the words were said right. And they'll say, "Okay, yeah, I heard it." Their lives are not transformed. My guess is that most of you here this morning, this is probably not your first Easter service. You've heard the words of Jesus, but the question I have is, has your life been transformed by his resurrection power? Because that makes the difference. We can hear words, we can observe him in a movie, but has his resurrection life transformed your life? That's the question. Just like those disciples in the Emmaus Road, we need to have Jesus break the bread and reveal himself to us. Eventually, he reveals himself to his disciples. You see, they needed him to reveal himself. Talking about him was not enough. Listening to him was not enough. They needed Jesus to reveal himself to them. I love verses 30 and 31 of our text this morning. It says, "When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight." Jesus was the one who initiated this revelation. He revealed himself. It wasn't because these guys were so clever and so smart. Obviously, the text tells us they kind of missed it, didn't they? Jesus reveals himself. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21 says, "He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God." I can assure you that we in our own strength are unable to redeem ourselves. We in our own abilities would never come to God. And I know people like to think, "Well, I came to God because that was the best option, and I just chose that, and that was great, and now I'm a Christian." Sounds nice. Not scriptural. John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verses 44 and 45. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God.' Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. That's a pretty important truth for us to understand this morning. You do not come to Christ because you're so clever. I guarantee you, I did not come to Christ because I'm so clever. Nor do I do anything else because I'm so clever. That's not the appropriate time to laugh. We've got to work on this. Jesus could be sitting in front of us and we wouldn't see him. He could be talking directly to us and we could ignore him. Because you know what? I know many times he's been trying to speak to me and I've not listened. But when he breaks the bread and God the Father opens our eyes, just as doubting Thomas said, we declare my Lord and my God. Now it's interesting here that one more thing I want us to notice in John chapter 6. So many people claim to believe in God the Father, but, you know, not necessarily so much that Jesus character. You know, it's a little more controversial, and, you know, I don't know. You know, I believe in God, but, you know, that's enough. Jesus says in John 6:45, everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. Isn't that interesting? If you're making the claim that, I'm following God, I don't need to follow Jesus. If you're truly following God, what does Jesus say? If you're following God, that's wonderful, because he's going to bring you to me. If you haven't come to Jesus, sad news is, you're not following God. Jesus made that very clear. If you're following God the Father, you will be drawn to the revelation of the risen Christ. No question about it. The disciples, the bread is broken. He reveals himself to them. And I love what they do. It says they went back to Jerusalem. Now, there was a little verse in there that we may have forgotten about in the beginning of the passage. Where's Emmaus? 7 miles away from Jerusalem. And they went all the way back. Right then. I don't think I could do 7 miles in 3 weeks. But they made it the same day. They were pretty excited. You know what? When we have a revelation and understanding of the risen Christ, I don't know if we're going to run 7 miles somewhere, but you know what? There ought to be a transformation. There should be a life change. When we realize that he purchased our salvation, he saw us in our sin and said, you know what? I'll lay my life down for you. I'll take that sin for you. Simply believe in me and my resurrection. You'll have eternal life. You ought to almost get excited. You might operate those smile muscles, and you might even tell somebody. Where are you on the Emmaus Road this morning? Have you observed his resurrection power? Maybe you've seen lots of movies this week. There's been a lot of those on television all about Christ. Maybe you've been to Sunday school as a child. You might even be able to memorize scripture. Maybe you've heard his words. Maybe you've heard lots of sermons. Maybe you've heard lots of my sermons. I'm sorry. You've read the scriptures many times. You've listened to Christian music. You have a Christian lunchbox. Hearing his words is not enough. We must allow him to break bread with us and reveal himself to us. And I believe this morning, if you are here, his Holy Spirit is here, drawing you and calling you, saying, come, receive eternal life. Receive the hope that I have for you. Receive that forgiveness, because you know what? Hearing about it, not enough. Observing, not enough. You must receive Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It is my prayer this morning that His Holy Spirit is drawing you, and you will respond by accepting the risen Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning for not just the historical data concerning your resurrection. We thank you not just for the fact that you exist. We thank you that because you laid down your life for us, that you took it back up again and purchased our salvation. By believing in your death and resurrection, we can have eternal life, forgiveness of sin. I ask, Lord, that you would draw us to yourself, that your Holy Spirit would draw every single one of us in this room, that we would all place our faith in the risen Christ, and that our lives would be transformed. I ask this in Christ's name and for your glory. Amen. Seated. This time we're going to worship the Lord with our giving. Lord Jesus, what a privilege and an honor it is to give to your kingdom. We thank you that you have purchased us, you have redeemed us by your shed blood and by your risen body. We ask that you would give this church wisdom in using these gifts for your kingdom. In Christ's name, amen. If you would join me in our personal commission. And now let us go forth into the world in peace, being of good courage, holding fast to that which is good, rendering to no one evil for evil, strengthening the faint-hearted, supporting the weak, helping the afflicted, honoring every person, loving and serving our risen Lord, and rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Before the benediction, one thing I forgot to mention, Betty Griffin passed away this week, and there will be calling hours at the Potter Funeral Home tomorrow evening, 6 to 8, and the funeral will be here Tuesday at 2 o'clock, and the Griffins were part of this church for many, many years, and so if you were able to show some respect and honor to them and be a part of that, that would be wonderful. And if you're able to make something for a reception that we'll have here Tuesday at 3 o'clock, please be willing to talk to myself or Gene or Dale Bland, and we'll make sure that that will be a part of it as well. All right. To him who is able to strengthen you according to the gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages but has now been disclosed, and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith, to the only wise God be glory forevermore, through Jesus Christ. Amen. And a final word, he is risen.